If the Mormons came knocking on your door, do you know what you'd say? Well, we're going to talk about that and reaching Mormons for Christ with Mark Cares, who's a pastor and also the author of a book called Speaking the Truth in Love to Mormons. And I understand, Reverend Cares, that you've had a tremendous success in terms of reaching Mormons for Christ. Welcome to the program, and tell us about your ministry.
Well, thank you so much, Jerry, for having me on. Yes, the Lord is giving us many opportunities, and one of the things that we just are continuing, but we hit our goal of inviting 1 million Mormons to hear the gospel. The key word there is invite, that we planted those seeds. And the way we did that, and we're still doing it, is we go into a heavily populated Mormon area like Salt Lake City or Provo, and we put in a lot of media, thousands of TV spots, and tens of thousands of direct mail, bus shelter ads, newspaper ads, and so forth. And then we have, teams of people, dozens of people going door to door talking about our message, which is centered on our website is Be Ye Perfect, that in Christ you can be perfect right now. And we just talk about that, and we get really wonderful response from many LDS people.
Huh. LDS means Latter-day Saints, which means Mormon. For those not familiar with the details about Mormonism, and I know there's some who even think, oh, well, Mormon is just a different variation of being a Christian. Can you just give us a few brief terms here and identify them?
Right, and it's very understandable why there's confusion. And actually, there's confusion both on the part of the Christians, but also the part of on the Mormons. And one of the reasons why there's so much confusion is because Mormonism uses the very same theological words of Christianity, but they define them completely differently.
Oh, that's an old ploy of the left.
Right.
The liberals, they'll take a term and then they'll redefine it. And then next thing you know, wait, this doesn't mean exactly, what you're saying. Fascinating.
Right.
Okay, go on.
For example, a lot of Christians will become frustrated by saying, I believe that I'm saved by Jesus, and their Mormon friend will respond, honestly, well, I believe the same thing. And they know they don't. And so there's frustration there. But in Mormonism, most Mormons think of salvation just as resurrection, that, Jesus conquered physical death for them. But when it gets to going to live with Heavenly Father, and that's how we call it Mormonese, talking about living with Heavenly Father, instead of talking about salvation, for example, we like to talk about eternal life. Because as the Bible says, eternal life is a gift from God, but in Mormonism, it's a reward for works. Here's just one little quote, and this is right off LDS.org. It says, "To inherit eternal life requires our obedience to the laws and ordinances of the gospel." And by the way, they define the word gospel differently too.
Right.
So, but basically, in Mormonism, the most quoted passage from the Book of Mormon in Mormonism is a passage that says, "By grace you are saved after all you can do."
Wow.
And just think of not only how that is so totally anti-Christianity, but just think if you take that seriously, the burden that puts on those sincere Mormons who are just struggling to do all that they can do.
Wow.
And then, at the very little bit, God kind of gives them this energy boost, a little bit of grace to get them across the finish line.
Wow. Yeah. The term itself, LDS, Latter-day Saints, define that.
Latter-day Saints, the Mormon Church officially is known as the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And Mormons prefer using the term LDS than Mormon. Years ago, they didn't really like the word Mormon at all. They're becoming a little bit more comfortable with it. But when Joseph Smith started this religion in the 1830s, he wanted to appear Christian, so he has Jesus in their, in the title of their church, something that many LDS people point to and say, look, we're Christian, we have that in our name. But the Latter-day Saints is their belief that the gospel was lost after the death of the apostles, and then it was restored, the restored gospel, was revealed to Joseph Smith in the 1830s. Mm. So that's where the latter day comes in, mm-hmm. that we're in the latter days after Joseph Smith got the gospel back.
Now, Joseph Smith, tell us a little bit about him and his alleged revelations.
Well, you know, Joseph Smith is a founder of, you know, of Mormonism. They believe that both Heavenly Father and Jesus, you know, they call God the Father, Heavenly Father, appeared to Joseph Smith over a period, you know, and told him that they were going to restore the Gospels. There's a story of the golden place that he was led to, and he translated that, and that became the Book of Mormon.
Golden plates. In other words, plates made out of gold.
They were buried in the hill, on the hill, and they showed them, and it was like the record of the, you know, ancient Israelites in America, which became the Book of Mormon. What so many people don't really understand is that the Book of Mormon doesn't teach much doctrine of Mormonism. The doctrine of Mormonism comes in their other scripture called Doctrine and Covenants, which are a series of revelations, you know, Joseph Smith supposedly received from God over, you know, the period of his adult life. And that's where you get a lot of the true teachings of Mormonism. So when people read the Book of Mormon, they say, well, this doesn't sound much different. Probably the biggest difference in the Book of Mormon is that it says that Jesus, after his resurrection, appeared to, you know, the Israelites or the Native Americans in America. That's probably, you know, one of the biggest differences in the Book of Mormon. But what we, our approach is, we don't really like to focus on Joseph Smith. What we like to do is try to find where they're experiencing stress because of Mormonism and talk to them and how the gospel can relieve that stress. One of our models is we want to witness Christ rather than debate Mormonism.
Okay. All right, so then we won't go in further then in terms of the foundation itself, but I will say this. It's my understanding from scholars who've looked at this that while the Bible, you know, refers to the ancient world and there's all kinds of references, and I know there have been many skeptics of the Bible, but I just think as an example, William Ramsay of the 19th century was a skeptic, lived in England, went over to the Holy Land and, you know, the Levant and so forth, you know, over in the Middle East, and followed, traced the steps of Luke's writings in the book of Acts, followed Paul's missionary journeys, and found that rather than Luke being a poor guide, Luke was an excellent guide, and
right.
This was actually bona fide history. Whereas when it comes to specific things said in the Book of Mormon and some of the other writings of, you know, that were supposedly revealed to Joseph Smith, that there's no tangency between true history and archaeological facts and these writings. They're just kind of, you know, they're basically made up, it sounds like.
Right, and there is absolutely no foundation. And this is what's so frustrating on the part of Christians, because like you say, you can go to the Bible, and it is, you know, archaeology, history, any way you want to go. There is so many proofs that, like you say, Luke was an excellent historian, excellent guide. You go to the Book of Mormon, and there's none of that. What's really frustrating with Christians, though, when they point that out to their LDS friends, to their Mormon friends, it's like water running off the duck's back. These things, for most Mormons, not all of them, for most Mormons, it doesn't bother them. It just doesn't bother them. They're just not focused on this.
Okay.
And one of the biggest responses is, well, we just take this by faith. You know, we just take the story by faith. And that's where the frustration comes in for many Christians.
Well, you know, it's interesting. There are many well-accomplished Mormons. Many people have testified, including many evangelical Christians, have said that they make great neighbors. We saw there was a serious political candidate who was a Mormon, as in Mitt Romney. And so if you try to intellectualize these things with them and talk about, you know, just the example I gave a moment ago about the difference between the Bible, let's say, and their holy writings, if they just say, well, we just take it by faith. Oh, okay. Next question, you know, there's no real argument. So what is your approach then to reach Mormons for Christ? And by the way, how about a comment about Mormons themselves? Because I think in some ways, many of them have a good testimony, if you will, or they They make good neighbors. They act like Christians should in many times, sometimes putting us to shame. And they're certainly a lot more evangelistic for their gospel, which is not true, not a true gospel, than the average Christian is, who has the true gospel.
Right. And again, you know, in Idaho here, you know, it's a predominantly Mormon influence, and great. Many of them are just great people, very moral. You know, all my kids went through the public high schools here, and it was not that difficult because of the LDS influence. It was a pretty conservative school system and still is.
Wow.
And things like that. So I mean, in many ways, very attractive.
Yeah.
Very, very attractive. But when you get into their teachings, that's where you go, oh, my goodness. And our approach is what we're, again, I mentioned before, we're trying to find out the stress points and really talk to the things that Mormons are struggling with, you know, in Mormonism.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the biggest thing is, you know, this whole idea, can they be assured of God's favor? You know, in Mormonism, they have to be worthy for everything. In Doctrines and Covenants, they say that there is really no such thing as an undeserved blessing, but every blessing is predicated by obedience to that law.
Wow.
There was a book written, it's a classic book in Mormonism, was written by one of their leaders. It was called The Miracle of Forgiveness. And in that book it says, you know, it depends upon you whether or not you are forgiven and when. It could be weeks, it could be years, it could be centuries before that happy day when you have the positive assurance that the Lord has forgiven you. That depends on your humility, your works, your efforts.
Mm.
So when we talk about to a Mormon, what we really want to do is just focusing on the basics that we have sin, and our sin is so great that there's no way that we can overcome it. So we talk a lot about just the seriousness of sin, but then we want to come that wonderful, sweet gospel that that God has solved this problem for us in Christ Jesus, and that, yes, right now, you can be forgiven through Christ. You are worthy in God's sight. So really, the two passages, I mean, we use many passages, but you can sum up our approach by talking about Matthew 5:48, where Jesus says, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And we use that passage because perfectionism and the idea of becoming perfect is really pounded into the LDS people. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we say, but you can't be perfect. And it says, be perfect. It doesn't say become a perfect, but you have to be perfect. And then we go to Hebrews 10:14, where it says, by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, talking about the wonderful work of Jesus Christ. And when we do that and we talk about the assurance we have, it really does affect Mormons. For many years, I tried to talk to them about Joseph Smith and stuff, and they kind of would run the other way or close their ears off and all that. Well, I talked to them about how assured I am that I'm worthy before God right now, that I'm going to live with Heavenly Father for all eternity. I mean, then they want to ask more.
Mm.
So that's what attracts them.
You know, I think you're really onto something here. And I think the approach that you have could actually be applied to the Muslim world as well. I've heard that many Muslims are just racked with guilt and they have no assurance of forgiveness. The whole thing is built on works. Obviously, we don't agree with many of the core definitions, but even still, I think this is an interesting approach. We're talking right now, for those who've just joined us, with Mark Cares. And Mark Cares is a pastor living and working in Idaho. He's the author of a book called Speaking the Truth in Love to Mormons. And they have a website, tilm.org, tilm.org. Now, how many Mormons are there in the United States, would you guess?
Well, worldwide, they just passed 15 million.
5-0?
No, 1-5.
Oh,
And about, you know, a little bit less than half of those are in the United States and North America.
Oh, wow.
But they are gaining converts rapidly. They usually get about 250,000 converts to Mormonism a year, plus their biological growth. Yes, people are leaving Mormonism, too.
Yeah.
And more than they ever have before. But it is still a rapidly growing religion. They have over 80,000 missionaries out on the streets right now.
Wow. Yeah. All over, or that's in the United States?
That's worldwide.
Oh, okay. But
for example, like where I live, I live in a, you know, I have a city of about 100,000 people. And, mm-hmm. you know, with the surrounding areas, there's probably, you know, it's not a very populated area. And in our district, there's 250 missionaries working right now.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
They are, as I said earlier, they put us to shame. And so that's very, very interesting. Now, how did you come about this approach to try and reach Mormons? And you've now at least had the opportunity to invite a million Mormons to at least hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the true gospel.
Right, right. And I always say I love failure, you know, in the sense that, you know, you learn so much from failure. Many years ago, 30 years ago, I was called to this church in Idaho. I was a pastor in Colorado, and I really didn't know much about, you know, witnessing to Mormons because I didn't have that much contact. God out here realized that's the community I was called to, and actually I tried so many different ways of doing it. Tried, you know, using the Book of Mormon as a witness, tried to talk about Joseph Smith. You know, I tried all those techniques. I tried other techniques.
Well, wait. When you say you tried using the Book of Mormon, was that as a bridge, saying like, oh, look, he says you must believe in Jesus Christ. He says that in the Book of Mormon, but he doesn't explain how. Or was it more like, no, the Book of Mormon is wrong because of XYZ on, you know, this page and that chapter?
Thank you for, yeah, that's a great question. It was more the first approach, actually looking at the Book of Mormon and saying, well, look at what it teaches here. You know, that's Christianity in a sense, because that is one of the ways, methods out there. I always like to say our method is not the only God-pleasing method out there. There are many different ways to witness to Mormons, sure. but I tried a lot of those, and it was like they always, you know, were immediately closing their ears off and looking for opportunities to end the conversation.
I see.
And then through the study and trying to talk to them and say, where are they really hurting? And that was a key.
So find the need, find the felt need, and then show how the gospel, the true gospel, reaches or meets that felt need.
Yes. And I just love the Bible because I always say, I don't care if you're talking to a Muslim or whoever you're talking to, there's some story, there's a way that the gospel is presented in the Bible in a different way that will speak to that person. And that's why for us, you know, like Hebrews 10:14 avoids all those terms like grace and salvation, but it really brings the gospel to a Mormon who's trying to be perfect when it says by one offering he hath perfected. So I just love the way the Bible presents the gospel in so many different ways.
Hmm. All right, now you, as I understand it, you'll go into, let's say, Salt Lake City, and then you'll have this big blitz campaign. Describe this campaign. How long does it last? What are the TV ads like, et cetera?
Right. Usually the media lasts about a month, and then we're on the streets the last 2 weeks of that media, and what we really have is, you know, last year I think we had 60 or 70 people on the streets going door to door for 2 weeks. And what it is it was interesting in Salt Lake City last year. We took four half-page newspaper ads out. Both, there's two big papers in the Salt Lake City area, the Salt Lake City Tribune and the Deseret News. And what's interesting, the Deseret News is owned by the LDS Church. And we were shocked. You know, we say, it was a miracle that the Lord allowed us to have that ad in there, in their own paper.
Now, what would the ad say?
Basically, the ad was talking about, you know, are you struggling to be forgiven? Are you struggling, you know, to get rid of your guilt? And then, you know, we talked about, you know, there's an answer to this. Take God as word, come to our website, beyeperfect.org. You know, things. And after the second week, they did pull our ad. But what was interesting about that is because of that, like we got some TV interviews.
I see, from the controversy, yeah.
Yeah, and also the Salt Lake City Tribune had a wonderful big article about us and everything. So, you know, the Lord works in a mysterious way, but in some ways we probably got more notice than if that would have happened. But what really works good is then we can go door to door and actually you know, start by asking people, have you seen these ads, and so forth. And that puts them at ease because we're just asking questions. And then basically we're saying, well, we're from the website, Be Perfect. We have this website because we know so many people are stressed out about trying to be perfect, and here's our answer. And we get into a discussion, and you wouldn't believe at the door how many long discussions, like over an hour of just talking about our sin and God's salvation. We get
right at the threshold of the door. In other words, like,
right,
they,
like sometimes
they won't even let you in.
Yeah, well, many do. But,
okay,
but a lot of them, you know, you just get, you know, you get into these somewhat intense conversations,
yeah.
And they're intense, not in argument. That's what is so neat. Yes, sometimes you will hit an angry member of the church, you know, but rarely, really rarely do you hit that. But they're so intense because people have never heard this message before. And it's, again, it's like they don't want us to leave. They want to hear more. It's the gospel is such a powerful message. It just attracts people.
Yeah.
And that's where we want to put our emphasis, is on the power of the gospel. You know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, very good. Well, you know, it's funny. The felt need of guilt is such that I'm sure you've heard this story before. It's in the classic book, Whatever Became of Sin, by Dr. Menninger, going back to the 1970s. But anyway, there was this mime on the streets of Chicago during rush hour, very busy. This is the early 70s that this was reported. And this mime would just stand there, and then as somebody was going by, a total stranger, he would shout out, "Guilty!" And then he'd point his finger at the person, and the person would start, you know, quaking in their boots and, you know, kind of, you know, slinking away. And it was a strange effect because one after another, they all felt guilty. So I guess we all feel guilty to some degree, you know, unless we've experienced that true forgiveness through Jesus Christ, which is only because of his finished work on the cross and nothing else.
Yes, yes, and what a beautiful message that everybody in this world needs. That's why, in a sense, our tagline for our ministry is sharing Christ's work with Mormons, because they're so work-oriented. And we're saying, yeah, we're focused on work too, but not what we did, what Jesus did.
Yeah,
and,
you know, in a very real sense, it's true. We are saved by works. We are saved by works, but it's Christ's work that saves us, not our works, and that's the difference. Very, very good. Okay, we're talking right now with Mark Kerrs. The name of his book is Speaking the Truth in Love to Mormons. Let me ask you a controversial question. Is it possible that there could be some Mormons, some professing Mormons, who actually in their heart of hearts really are Christians, and they just didn't understand that this is kind of a confusing church or a church with false doctrine on some of the particulars, but they still love Jesus and there they are as a Mormon? Now, I'm not talking about leadership within the Mormon church. I'm talking about just rank and file pew members who thought, oh, these people are very lovely, they're attractive, I like them, I'm going to join their church.
Well, what I can tell you, I guess a short answer, I think there are some who are on a journey out of Mormonism and are in that position, you know.
Towards Jesus.
Yeah, towards Jesus. But in all my years of talking with Mormons who are, you know, professing Mormons who are active in the church, not one has ever told me that they don't have to do something and they don't have to do a lot in order to live with Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
You know? So I do think there are some on a journey. And honestly, it can't really expect a whole lot because they don't really point their people to read the Bible that much. It's one of their scriptures, but Mormons don't really read their scriptures all that much anyway. It's all what they hear, and what they're hearing from their leadership and what they're hearing every Sunday is basically be obedient. You know, that word obedient is just so strong. On our website, tillum.org, you know, we have a lot of resources, but one thing we do is blog, and I just, you know, finished a blog about being obedient. One of the leaders just was pounding it, and I just put a blog up there a few days ago about that.
TILM.org. What does that stand for?
Truth in Love Ministry. So that's what it stands for, Truth in Love Ministry. So it's TILM.org. And, you know, encourage people to go there. We got a lot of articles, How to Witness. They can download ebooks. They can get the book. They can go to our other websites. There's links there. There's just a lot of material there. So encourage people to come and visit us.
All right. So if the Mormons come and visit you, they knock on the door. Let's say you're kind of in a rush.
Right.
And I'm talking, let's say, for John Q. listener here. Should John Q. listener open the door or just say, I'm sorry, I don't have time for this? What's the best way to deal with Mormons when they come to the door?
Yeah, and this is going to be we're working on this initiative right now, and in a couple months I'll be really ready to talk about it. But
well, you've got to have something to say.
Well, we encourage, and we actually encourage, if you're busy, hey, I'm busy right now, but let's set an appointment, and will you come back? And we want them to come back.
Oh, okay.
And then what we do, we have this strategy that we're working out that over a period of time that we can witness, you know, repeatedly to LDS missionaries. And we are field testing that right now with a bunch of people. And it's working wonderfully. Again, if you gauge success on, you know, what we are responsible for getting the message out, it's up to the Holy Spirit to convert people. So I mean, it's successful. There was, we have people who are regularly and repeatedly witnessing to LDS missionaries by putting a face of Christian love to the missionaries, and then very clearly but lovingly sharing God's word with them.
All right, now, you said earlier that you actually, by the grace of God, your work has been able to share the gospel with about a million Mormons in the past few years. How many of those came to profess faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work on Christ, you know, on Calvary alone?
I can say, you know, there's been many. The way is funny for our ministry, and this happened to me like last year, but this happens regularly. I was in Salt Lake City last year, and this lady came up to me at one of the presentations we were doing at a local church, and she just said, oh, by the way, you know, you were here 2 years ago or something, and you did this, and as a result of, you know, what you were teaching and so forth, my daughter, her friend, and a number of other of their LDS friends are now all Christian.
Oh, wow.
And so what happens is we equip a lot of people, and we you know, sow those seeds, and then sometimes it's later on that we hear, oh, something happened. We were working with a student at BYU by email and so forth for months. We were working with him, and then suddenly he just dropped off the map, and we were saying, oh, no, you know, what happened? And then about a year later, we get an email from him and say, hey, thanks, guys. I'm a Christian now and everything. So, the God's word is so powerful. And this is one of the things I think your listeners need to know when witnessing, and I have to remind myself that, you know, God often uses a process to bring someone to faith. And, you know, we plant the seeds. You know, another person waters the seed.
Yes.
God gives the increase. And especially with Mormons, because it's not only a religion, it's a culture, it's a hard thing to leave. And usually it takes a while for people to get out. It's a process, and we need to have patience here.
Sure. All right, we have about 30 seconds to wrap up. Why don't you just recap the key points here in reaching Mormons for Jesus Christ?
I think the key points is understand that you might be talking past each other, so be careful, you know, carefully define terms.
Okay.
I think the second point is don't really talk to them about the things that bug you about Mormonism, but, you know, focus on the things that they're experiencing stress by Mormonism. And then the third thing is trust in the power of God's word. You know, God called us to be witnesses, not lawyers. Holy Spirit is the one who converts people. My job is just to witness. Mm. And if we do those three things, we'll be blessed.
Very good. Again, the name of the book, Speaking the Truth in Love to Mormons, by Mark Cares. That's spelled just like he cares for the Mormons. The website is TILM.org. This is Jerry Newcomb on Vocal Point. Hey, you know what? I have time for a 15-second question. Could you vote for a Mormon? I'm just curious.
Yes, because in Idaho, sometimes that's my only choice.
Right, okay. And that makes sense. And, you know, again, they share a lot of our family values and things like that, while not sharing, of course, the even fundamental doctrines. Thank you so much, Dr. or Reverend Karas, for being with us. We appreciate your work. And again, the name of the book is Speaking the Truth in Love to Mormons. God bless
you. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.